Lots of people talk about how addicted we are to our screens. We spend our days staring at smartphones and tablets and computers, but the first digital addiction came before most of us even imagined a home computer. Video games are not that old. The first home video game was released in 1972, and now the video games many of us grew up playing are relics that might as well be enshrined in a museum. Well, that's the idea of The MADE, the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment in downtown Oakland. A small group of enthusiasts have created a gaming playground where you can grab an Atari joystick for a game of Frogger, put on a face mask to attack some zombie whales, or join in on a virtual fight night with friends. KALW's Leela Day visited The MADE for this story.
Downtown Oakland. There are barely any cars on the road this Saturday morning. A couple of kids ride skateboards in the middle of the street past a brick building with a sign that reads, Video Game Museum. And I'm going in. I'm dying to play Pitfall. I used to play it on Atari when I was a kid. In Pitfall, you use your joystick to direct a little stick man to hop over alligators and swing on vines over quicksand. I haven't owned an Atari in years. It was a ritual to be in the middle of the living room, legs folded, eyes glued to the screen, with my brother over my shoulder shouting out unwanted directions on how to win. Today is my lucky day. There's one here, somewhere, just waiting for someone like me to try her hand at it. Inside the museum, there's wire mesh shelving against the walls, and plastic bins full of wires, adapters, and control panels. Computer monitors are everywhere. Some of them are sleek with flat screens. Others are the old, bulky beige boxes, looking like fossils, sticking their floppy disks out like blue tongues. There's one player hunched over a screen. His name is Sean. He's in his late 30s, and he's playing Streets of Rage from 1981. The characters are blurry and boxy-looking. Their faces have no definition, and I can't tell the difference between a gun and a knife. I ask Sean, the lone player, about how his game is going.
Just found out something about the game when you get to the last part. He asks you to join him, and if you join him, he sets you back a couple levels.
I'm not sure what Sean means by any of that, but his face is only a few inches from the screen, and I get the hint that this may not be the time to ask questions. Back to my search for Pitfall, the game I'm itching to play. Looking around at some of the older games on display, I don't recognize any of them. No Super Mario Brothers, Frogger, or Pac-Man. They were all a bit too mainstream back in the day to be a part of this exhibit.
We have playable exhibits of significant video game works and artistic contributions to the medium.
That's Alex Handy, the pink-haired founder of The MADE, the Museum of Art and Digital Entertainment. He's a video game journalist and a self-described technological archaeologist based in Oakland. The idea to start a video game museum came to him when he found what he considered digital gold.
In 2008, at the Laney College Flea Market in Oakland, I discovered a parcel of unreleased Atari games. And I had to find somebody to dump the information off of them, and we made the games available on the internet.
Dumping the info, or transferring the old technology from these older games into a form that everyone can access, is a tricky process. Doing so means dissecting the game and making it compatible with today's technology. But it's risky. Tinkering with the inner workings of old technology could destroy the game entirely. Handy's games survived the dump, but he wanted them to survive longer.
Basically, as soon as that process was over, I looked at these games that had never been seen before and never been played and thought, you know, what do I do with them? I looked around for institutions to donate them to, and there was nothing in the San Francisco Bay Area, which I found shocking because the San Francisco Bay Area is really where video games came from.
Technology changes so quickly that reviving the old stuff can be like unlocking a secret treasure. Some people do this and they put the games online for all to play. Others just hold on to their games like a prized comic book, and their value increases over time. For someone like Handy, who's a human video game encyclopedia, the discovery of a new video game is like finding a new planet. Handy shows me a few of his games that sit on a shelf. They are his prized collection, some of the oldest games around, like The Odyssey, released in 1974, one of the oldest games in the museum, and the world's first commercial video game.
It has a bunch of games you can play with two dots on the screen that can be controlled by spinners, like you can move the dot anywhere. In order to make those into games, it includes plastic overlays, so if you do not have a 12-inch television, you cannot use The Odyssey.
It could be easy for all of this to be uninteresting to people outside of this video game world, but Handy's also got a social mission, to reveal the parts of game history that are more complex than anyone thinks. Like, soon after the development of The Odyssey came something called the Fairchild Channel F. It was the first home video game system with interchangeable game cartridges, and was developed by an African-American, Jared Lawson.
Why haven't we been, like, singing his praises? This man was amazing. And I'm actually working with the African-American Museum and Library around the corner. We're going to try to do an African-American game developer exhibit, and he's going to be, like, set piece number one.
Handy shows me some of the other games. They're all loaded up and ready to play.
These are the kind of games that really get me excited, the kind of games that, like, make a statement or are the equivalent of a novel or a great short story. One game I love is called Dinner Date. It is basically about you play a guy at his house making dinner, and he's sitting at his table waiting for the date to show up. You can pour the wine, you can look at your meal, you can prepare the second course, you can take some of the soup and eat it, but she never shows. That's the whole game, just sitting there waiting for a date that never shows.
I feel a bit bad about starting to eat. Can't just drink wine, though. Will it look odd? I'll just pretend I didn't when the door rings. Should be time enough. I'll just go, just a minute. Just a minute.
But how do you win a game where you're making dinner for someone that never shows up?
And that's sort of what the indies are really all about. There are games that are being built out there with no goals.
Eating bread by myself here.
Games with no real goals? It could be the next big thing, but I can't imagine playing the hundreds of hours of Pitfall as a kid without having the goal to be the highest score. There was just something so satisfying about seeing my brother's face twist into combat mode when he turned on the TV and realized I'd beaten his score the day before.
That's one of the great differences between the generations of kids today and the generation I grew up with, is that our video games were really hard. Like, really hard. One hit and you die. It's just pure thumb skill. And nothing but.
Handy spent most of his life watching games evolve. And he says there's one thing missing from modern game design. Fun.
People can get really, really obsessed and locked in. And you see these sort of events where people will be like, you know, Jimmy, come away from the computer and eat your dinner. No, Mom, I'm on a raid. I can't pause it. I have to be here for the next 6 hours, you know. That makes the game into the priority versus something you're doing for fun.
I never played Pitfall, but I didn't leave without touching a joystick. Handy introduced me to another game, Vib Ribbon. The object? Just to make the rabbit move to the rhythm, jumping over ditches that looked hand-drawn and somersaulting over squiggly lines on the screen. It was no Pitfall, but maybe it's about time for me to love a new game. Even though it may be older than me. For Cross Currents, I'm Leela Day. Boom.